Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
The spiritual warfare that we face daily is fought in the arena of relationships. I want you to think about that. You know already in Ephesians 6 and 11, it talks about how we are being attacked by the enemy. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, that word wiles there means the plots, the plans, and the schemes of the devil to destroy our lives. Now, how many of you really know that the devil hates you and he wants to kill you? Do you know that? Boy, that is a reality you need to face every day. If anything, that alone is a reason to pray and to cover yourself with the blood of Jesus and to read the Bible, even if it's one verse before you leave and go to work. You need to be covered with the blood of Jesus. You need to have prayer over you, a prayer covering before you go out the door, because the devil really is out to get you. Now, the good news is that the angels of the Lord encamp around those that fear the Lord. But folks, listen, don't expect God to do it all and you do nothing. That's just not reasonable. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to seek the face of God. We're supposed to read the Word of God. We need a spiritual covering over our lives every day before we walk out of that house. We need to place it upon our families and upon our children as well. So the devil's wiles are his plots, his plans, and his schemes to destroy our lives. And they are generally connected to the relationships that we have with other people. And the Bible warns us to avoid toxic or unhealthy relationships. In Proverbs 13 and 20, it says, he that walks with wise people will become wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. And when the Bible talks about the fool, the Bible says the fool have said in his heart there is no God. In other words, fools are people who don't believe in God or put very, very little effort into their relationship with God. You don't want to associate too closely with those kind of people. Because if a lightning bolt falls, you don't want to be too close to where it's going to fall on that person. So it's important for you to understand that was kind of a joke, but not really. I mean, you don't want to be too close to people who don't really love God, serve God, or know God. Because you never know when they're going to be judged. In Proverbs 22 and 24, it says, do not befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Another scripture tells us, do not be deceived, because evil communication ruins good morals. In other words, the Bible is telling us there that the company that we keep, the company that we associate with, will have an influence on our lives. And if their ways are evil, then that evil is going to try to come into your life. See, you cannot maintain an association with any person without becoming influenced. Now, I'm talking about an ongoing relationship. I'm not talking about you just meet a person, it's an acquaintance. No, but I'm talking about people that you join hands with. We become like people we join hands with. Just the fact that you continue to associate with someone, you are walking in some level of agreement with them. Now, you need to understand that. That's why you need to be careful with who you're seen with. Because simply by association, people will think that you're like that person. There have been people who were just in the car, didn't even know the bank was being robbed. Just in the car with someone who drove to the bank. Bank was robbed. Person came out, drove away. They found out the bank was just robbed, and they're in the car, and they go to jail. Did they rob the bank? No, it was simply by association. So you have to understand, this is real what I'm talking about. Association is enough to influence you negatively if you're around the wrong people. Amos 3:3 says, is it possible for two to go walking together if they're not in agreement? Well, you think about that. You say, well, sure it is. No, it's not. I mean, how do you know which way to go? You walk in this direction. If the person's not in agreement, they'll walk in that direction. See, there's got to be some agreement if you are associating with a person. It's something for you to think about tonight. Now, Satan wants to take advantage of you through your relationships. He does not care if it's a family member, a friend, a boss, a coworker, a member in your church. One of the best ways to protect yourself from toxic relationships is by establishing boundaries, and we touched on this last time. Personal boundaries must be established in the workplace, with our families, with friends, and other people. Because poor boundaries in relationships can be the kiss of death. They can bring confusion, resentment, and disillusionment into our lives, and it's not God's plan. But when you establish a boundary, you should be doing it based upon the Word of God. And the Word of God is our textbook for life. Don't do it by your emotions and your feelings. Don't do it simply by what you heard about the other person. No, the Word of God instructs us what type of boundaries we should have in our lives. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. For example, a good measure for a boundary in your life might be the Ten Commandments. Now, when I talk about a boundary, I want you to see it in this way. I want you to see yourself standing in the center of a closed gate or fence all around you. And that in your interaction with people, you're going to stay within the confines of that fence. You're not going to cross the boundary, but you're going to stay in the confines of that fence. That becomes your boundary for your life. Those are the things that you begin to say morally, I will do or I will not do. I'm not going beyond the confines of this fence that is around me because this is my protection. This is my safety from toxic relationships. And again, the Ten Commandments is a good place to start, because the Bible really tells us that those are God's moral standards for life. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, it says that God spoke all these words. He said, I am God, your God. Worship no other God, only me. So my boundary would be, you know what? I can't worship or serve any other religion except Christianity. That's going to make it difficult for me to go to your Muslim church. Because I don't know how God would take that. You know, I mean, I might be all right with that, but God may say, well, what are you doing there? Someone might think that you're serving Allah. Somebody might think that you're serving Buddha by being in that temple. See, God says that we are not to worship any other gods but Him. The next commandment says that we are not to use the name of the Lord God in any curses or silly banter. In other words, my boundary is, regardless of how upset I get, I will not use profanity. That's a boundary. I won't go there. I'm not going to use those words, especially anything about the Lord. I will not take His name in vain.
thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve, and each of us have a prophetic destiny. Every person born is simply searching for the why and the how of their existence. Everyone wants to know, why am I here? And how do I accomplish my true purpose? Well, the why and the how of our existence can only be found in God, our Creator. The Bible says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. Your purpose is discovered by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you will never gain greater satisfaction in life than to serve your true purpose. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Another one is to observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, when we talk about keeping the Sabbath day holy, we are really talking about us as Christians keeping Sunday holy. Now, how many of you have heard other Christians say, as Christians, we need to keep the Sabbath day holy? Anybody hear that? Come on now, all of you, you know you've heard that. You've heard some Christians say, you need to be keeping Saturday holy. There was a time when the ministry had just begun, and we were able to use a Baptist church on Saturdays. And we were still on the radio, even back in those days. And we would have visitors, and the people who came on Saturday after the service, they would come up to me and they shake my hand. Pastor, I'm so glad you're walking in the truth. What truth is that? You must worship on the Sabbath day. There are so many Christian ministers that have it wrong. But you have the truth of God. You're worshiping on Saturday. And I would say, you know, this is the only day we could get for this church service. And so, but as soon as we can get on Sunday, I will be worshiping on Sunday. And they'd get mad and I'd never see them again. I just, you know, after a few times, you just wave goodbye to them because you know they're not going to ever come back. But there are a lot of people confused over this. I mean, really. So I want to show you this in the Bible. Would you turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 15? Because you need to see this for yourself. Write it down, please. Listen, if you haven't met any of those Christians yet who believe that you're supposed to worship on the Sabbath day, you will. All right? But you need to be able to give them a scripture. Not that they're going to listen to you, but you need to be able to give them the Word of God and just kind of show them the truth. See, there are some churches, there's a denomination that teaches, and they believe in Jesus and a lot of other things like in the Bible. But they teach that you must observe the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Now, in Acts chapter 15, what has happened here is that some of the apostles had come back from preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Let me just say this to you. When Jesus died and rose in the first early church, it was not a Gentile church. They were all Jewish people. Not one Gentile in the church. They were all Jews. Okay? So they were born Jews, so that meant that they kept all the law of Moses. They were circumcised in the whole works. And then Jesus rose from the dead. He's the Son of God. So now they are keeping basically their Jewish beliefs plus being saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when the Gentiles came in, they were never Jewish. They were never circumcised. They never did any of those things. You following me? So, because the Jews got Christianity first, they said, Gentiles must do it like us. They have got to obey all of the law of Moses, and I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. There are lots and lots and lots of laws that prophets and scribes had written. So they were saying Gentiles have to do this. And so it came to a head in chapter 15, and I want to read that for you, starting at verse 5. It says, some of the believers who belonged to the sect of the Pharisees stood up and insisted that the Gentile converts must be circumcised and required to follow all of the law of Moses. Now, of course, that also includes keeping the Sabbath day holy, Saturday. So the apostles and the elders met together to resolve the issue. Okay, this is how they resolved the issue. Peter got up and he testified about how when he went to Cornelius' house, that the Holy Spirit fell upon the Gentiles just like he fell upon the Jewish Christians. All right? And then Paul and Barnabas got up and they said, you know, God is doing a revival wherever we go with the Gentiles. So God is saving the Gentiles. Isn't this amazing? The Jewish Christians said, wow, God is saving Gentile people. Now, that may sound strange to you now, but that's, they didn't think too much of Gentiles. So they were amazed that God was saving Gentile people like us. So this whole question about do they follow the law of Moses? Do they get circumcised? Do they keep the Sabbath? James, who was presiding over the meeting, the brother of Jesus, he began to use the scriptures. And in verse 16 of chapter 15, listen to what he says. He's talking about David's prophecy. He said, David said, I will build its ruins and restore it. And he's talking about the tabernacle of David. And he's saying what the Lord said that he would do. So that the rest of humanity might seek the Lord, including the Gentiles. This is in the Bible. Oh, the Gentiles are in the Bible, seeking the Lord. All those I have called to be mine. The Lord has spoken, he who made these things known so long ago. And so he's saying, look, the Bible says the Gentiles are going to be born again. They are legitimately saved. And then he says in verse 19, and so my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write and tell them to abstain from eating food offered to idols, from sexual immorality, and from eating the meat of strangled animals, and from consuming blood. That was what they said the Gentiles would need to do along with accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior by faith. They, as the ruling Christian council, said they do not have to follow all those many laws that we have. Now, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments, okay? There are lots and lots of laws that the Jews had written. So here we see that as Christians, we do not have to keep the Sabbath day. In fact, we observe the first day of the week because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because he's our law. We're not following Moses. We're following Jesus. The Bible tells us in Mark 16 and 9, Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning. So we keep that day holy. All right? So we do keep it holy, though. We keep Sunday holy. This is one of my boundaries, that I will go to church on Sunday. I will come to the house of the Lord on Sunday. That's a boundary that I have. Okay? Another boundary is, from the Ten Commandments, is to honor your father and your mother. In other words, you basically are saying, I will not disrespect my parents, regardless of my spouse or my siblings. I will not disrespect my parents. I will always honor them. Now, honoring them doesn't mean that you do everything they say. It means you respectfully listen to what they have to say, and you do the right thing. But now I'm not talking about children. Ah, we got some young people here. I was talking to the older children, like those 50 and up. The younger ones, you, if you or parents, what should I say, 18? If you are living in your parents' house, that's why I said 50. If you're living in your parents' house, you need to be listening to them. How about that? You should be respecting your parents. Don't disrespect your parents if you're living in their house. I think that covers it very well. You need to be listening to what they say if you're still in their house. That's why the Bible says when you get married for this cause, if a man leave his father and his mother. You learn that, young people, when you get old enough. Another boundary is that I will not murder anyone. I may feel like it, but I'm not going to do it. That's a boundary. I'm not going to kill somebody and tell the Lord I found them dead. I'm not going to do that. Okay, that's a boundary. No adultery. In other words, I'm not going to engage in any sexual immorality. My sexual fulfillment will only be in marriage with my husband or with my wife. That's a boundary. I will not go beyond that. I will not steal is another boundary. I won't take what does not belong to me. So all of those pencils that you have from your job, all of that paper and things like that, you may want to return that this week. Give it back. Be careful that nobody sees you doing it, right? Bring it back. Give it back to your company. Another boundary is I will not lie. The Bible says that we are to lie not, especially to others. We shouldn't lie to ourselves either. So I will not lie. And the last commandment is not to desire your neighbor's possessions, regardless of what they have. You should not covet, desire to have their house, to have their cars, and their wealth, their money, you know, their wife, their husband. You know, we're not to covet from other people. So those are just some of the boundaries. My point is this, the boundaries that we establish, they really should be based upon the Word of God. That's a real boundary. The Bible is filled with practical applications for us to use to establish boundaries.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on Audio Messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. The Toxic Relationship series continues today. This is part 5 of the message called Codependency. Now let's pray with Pastor Steve.
I want to pray this prayer with you today because some of us are still being affected by emotional pain, by traumatic experiences of our past, by some of the tragedies that perhaps no one else knows about. I want to let you know that you can be free in the name of Jesus because God loves you so much. And I'm asking you to repeat this prayer after me. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority given to me to bind and to loose, I loose my emotions from every evil deed that has come as a result of experiences of the past. I loose myself from all hurt, pain, sadness, anger, bitterness, and fear.
and I command these spirits to come out and leave me now. I declare freedom to my emotions by the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. I want you to believe that prayer and know that God has heard you.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We are honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.